In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Much of the homily this morning comes from Father Lawrence from Santa Rosa. The human body, our bodies, and especially the baptized and chrismated body, is more holy than any church and than any object in the church. Think about it. I give you Holy Communion, but if I drop the tiniest particle on the floor, I'll go down on my hands and knees to consume it, and then I'll burn the spot on the floor to consume that. You become a chalice when you receive Holy Communion, a living chalice. And St. Paul is very clear about what Christians are. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's through the Holy Spirit that Christ is with us at the liturgy in the Holy Communion. What do we say in the liturgy? Send down thy Holy Spirit and make this bread the precious body of thy Christ, and that which is in this cup the precious blood of thy Christ. And yet, first we say, make us also upon us and this bread and this cup. So you're holy. You're sanctified. You are a chalice. God, the all-holy, is living within you. Do we always feel it? No, we don't. Our senses are so attuned to the world and how we feel and taste and see and touch that our spiritual senses need to wake up more. Contrast this, brothers and sisters, with the story that we hear in the gospel today. A legion, thousands of demons, have fragmented this man. He doesn't even have a name anymore. He's a living dead, which is why it says he lives at the graves. He's full of violence. They have to tie him down. He's naked. He tries to destroy his soul and his body. The demons hate humans. Because we have a body. We're not just spirits, not just souls, but we're a mixture of the heavenly and the earthly. Where one begins and the other ends, we don't know. It's our body, and it's keyed together with the soul. The demons hate that, because we have been called to be holy, to be chalices, to be the temple of God, and to sanctify everything around us. The whole world. This is our calling, to pray, to offer everything to God, to sanctify it. The fallen angels, the demons, hate that. They hate it. They're jealous, and they seek to destroy us. They seek to destroy our body and our soul, to mutilate both, to disfigure them, by temptations, towards violence, to anger, to hatred, murder, to see others as less, to gluttony, sexual immorality, addiction, and on, illness, sometimes. We have to take care of what we have. Many years ago, when I was much younger, and I think much more foolish, over at a friend's house, I watched this movie called The Exorcist. Today, supposedly, there are movies that are even more horrible. I don't know. But the terrible disfiguration of that girl's face, her body, her voice, scared me so badly that I didn't sleep the whole night. Well, it turns out, brothers and sisters, that the violence and the hatred and the disfigurement of the human in that movie, while real and while accurate in some ways, cannot compare with the reality of what goes on in the world and the hatred and the violence. Jesus went to that village to free that man from the shackles that he was under. He was caught. We don't know the story of how that happened, but it doesn't matter. Freedom is the core message of this gospel. His freedom and our freedom in Christ. We become servants of God, and we're freed from the slavery of the darkness of this world and of ourself too. St. Paul writes in his epistle to the Hebrews, Christ came to destroy him that held the power of death. That is the devil. That's why the icon of the descent into Hades, in that icon, we see Christ crushing the bars and gates of death and sin. Christ came to destroy him that held the power of death and to free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. And St. John the theologian wrote this. He said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. St. Paul also wrote, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All this talk of destruction and this gospel of freedom. But we wonder, don't we? Have the old spiritual powers that were cast out, have they returned as people forget God? St. Peter warns us, be sober, be vigilant. The devil goes around like a roaring lion, waiting to consume. So yes, the demons still harass us. This is the truth. Psalm 110 claims, and we sing this in the church at Christmas time, Christ rules all things, the Messiah. He is the pantocrator, it says, the ruler of all. He rules all things, and even in the midst of his enemies, they are his footstool. And yes, we most certainly are wrestling against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. But not only is Jesus ruling in the midst of his enemies, those forces against us, listen to what he said right before he was crucified. Now is the time for judgment on this world. And what is judgment? To set it right, to fix it. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, he means on the cross, will draw all people to myself to save them, because he will be crucified and rise from the dead. And that is what happened. Back to today's gospel. The villagers, who represent the citizens of the world, of all times, the villagers in the gospel were witnesses of two things. First, the terrible, horrible, demonic power. And there's a long story there I'm not going to go into as to why they were afraid, why they asked Jesus to leave. The point is that they were witnesses of that ill power. But second, they also saw the power and authority of Jesus over that. The complete, utter power and control over that. They saw those things too. The whole world, brothers and sisters, sees those things too. So let's set aside any notion that people need to see miraculous things in order to believe in Jesus. You heard last week the man in Hades who said to Father Abraham, just send someone back from the dead and they'll believe. And what does Jesus say in the parable? Well, even if I send someone back from the dead, they're not going to believe. After seeing what had taken place, the villagers begged Jesus Christ to leave them. And so he did. God leaves us free. God is about freedom. Those people chose darkness to continue what they were doing, as our fathers say, raising pigs for pagan sacrifices, because that's what Roman sacrifices used, the pigs. The word of the Lord is ever true, and this is the judgment. The light, capital L, has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. Such is the state of things. But how does that work if Jesus has destroyed him who held the power of death, that is, the devil? We still have to recognize that dark and evil spirits, not just an inclination that a person has, that doesn't explain what happens in the world, the depth of the horrible things. That dark spirits are not, in every way, once for all restrained. Dark demonic experiences still happen, but only through joining themselves with men, only through suggestion, only through temptation, only through manipulation and deception. But if we willingly enter into that temptation and deception, there's no end to the bottom of it. We say that the Mother of God, by joining herself to the light, has become greater than the angels, more honorable than the cherubim, and incomparably more glorious than the seraphim. Well, in like manner, man can also become worse than the demons. For when a man gives service of his mind and body to their ideas, the demons can accomplish far more than they themselves could. Remember, they lack bodies, so their ability to act in the physical world is limited. They can inspire to murder, to war, to chaos, but they themselves cannot accomplish these actions, or they would. And many are very willing to believe their lies, to acquire power for their ego, control, money, whatever it might be, thinking that they can manipulate these dark forces for their own happiness. And all of it just produces profound misery and cruelty. The gospel is called the good news because it remains true that Jesus releases all of us from the bondage of that terrible thing. Our holy baptism permanently expels the evil one from the confines of our heart, leaving him only the power of suggestion. But he can no longer take up the reins of our spirits and control us like fools. The account we heard today reminds us that Jesus is indeed Lord over all things, has power over all things. He says, "Behold, I've been given from the Father all authority, both in heaven and on earth." And he right now sits at the right hand at the throne of the Father, ruling. And we are in him, and he is in us. You have become the chalice. You've become the bearer of the good news. Not just words, but your being, your actions, your whole life. You are the witnesses of that good news. God, help us, please, to rejoice that we are in Christ and that he is in us and that he is our peace. That's why we start the liturgy. For the peace from above and the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord. That peace is the precious gift of God to us. That peace is the absence of all demonic power and influence and chaos, the victory of good order and beauty within us. And if we fall into sin or if we fall into temptation, we can cleanse it through holy confession. Our conscience convicts us and we can be cleansed, and peace will then return to our soul. And that evil power has no control over us, because we are illumined by the grace of God, and as we struggle to keep our conscience free. The gospel says that the man formerly possessed was what? He was sitting at the feet of Christ, clothed, and in his right mind. This is the picture of the Christian. That is what we are, and this is what we are to be, being clothed. That's a description the fathers tell us of the baptized Christian. For having died with Christ and risen in baptism, we have put on Christ. And now it is not I who live, we heard in today's epistle, but Christ who lives in me. Rejoice, brothers and sisters, for the Lord our God has saved us and is saving us and will save us. And he will save everyone who so desires it. To him be glory now and ever, and unto the ages of ages.